Now back to the Midday Grind with Martin and Marlo on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Every day I'm hustling. Who you suckers think you're tripping with? Yes, I'm the boss. 745, white on white, that's Rick Ross. I keep them wide, I keep them long, I keep them fat. I keep them coming back. We keep them coming back. I'm in the
distribution. If it makes people feel better, we interrupt each other during the commercial break. Does that help? And also,
no.
We are on Facebook Live, and I had a moment of horror when I walked in at the top of the show. Midday Grind begins at 12. We walk in here. I've got the plate of food from Zia's, but we're getting close to the beginning of the show, and I thought about it later. I just destroyed that plate of food because we were in a hurry, and, you know, I got cardio later, so I want to get that loaded up. People could be watching you and I. Is that why you stopped eating?
No, I feel. Did you see my plate here? Okay, I mean, you want me to lick it clean? Yeah. I finished this fantastic Zia's fare.
But people can watch us. I forget. And Strickland's over there during Matt Holiday going, wrap it up, wrap it up. People could see that.
But it's like the same 16 people from the fan page.
That's very
They're good
true.
People. We
and
love them.
And 14 of them work here.
They know that we're slobs. It's all good.
Fair enough. The Midday Grind, one of our great sponsors, is Kenilwood. Otis here with an endorsement.
Yes. Invisible Fence brand. You can get it at Kenilwood Pet Resorts. Boundary Plus technology. Only Invisible Fence brand can offer this patented technology. Boundary Plus gives your pet the entire space of your yard to run and play. Having a small yard doesn't mean you have to keep your pet on a short leash. Invisible Fence brand's exclusive Boundary Plus technology lets your dog or cat play right up to the edge of your property. It provides an average of 30% more yard space, so it's the perfect fit for tight spaces or uniquely shaped lots, and it's only from Invisible Fence brand. We had Tanya over yesterday for Otis's third training session. He's learning. They're turning up, the voltage on that collar to make sure Otis is ready to rock. And he's going to have the whole yard to play in, and it's going to be all good. Peace of mind for myself and my wife, and Otis will just play all day, baby.
One more reminder that Friday, the tour continues. What a week of shows. Friday, we're going to be at Herbie's in Clayton. It's the corner of Maryland and Brentwood. Lunch served from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Their happy hour starts at 2. Known for their famous beef Wellington, of course, the Herbie's burger served with mouth-watering caramelized onion. Happy hour again from 2 to 6. We're there on Friday from 10 to 1.
Love Herbie's, by the way.
Stop by. Remember in the old West End
days? Well, I remember it when it was in the West End, but I've been to the one in Clayton a couple times as well. Had an event there a few months ago. It's a great, great spot. Great for events well.
And they've said,
rented out. Great patio. The patio is incredible.
What you said is 100% true because
yes,
they would like people to bring their business meetings there. They've got the AV team. They could set up your meeting.
Yeah.
Have it all under one roof.
Thank you.
By the way, more housekeeping here.
Housekeeping?
Mr. Coffee, Stan Dowood. Dowood. I always say it wrong.
It's a tough name.
I always say it wrong. Mr. Coffee, Stan the man, Dowood, from Fox 2, said, I have a beef with Strick.
Mm.
Last week, he was calling out the Sky Fox highlights on the prep. And I said,
But
it depends who's operating. If Stan's working, you're fine. He's Mr. Zoomin.
He actually brought that up to me at work.
I like watching little Pee Wee football, only to realize it was actually high school football, but they looked
small
from above. I just couldn't tell.
Sometimes it's zoomed in a
little. This guy makes fun of the prep zone, but then, hey,
I love the
one
prep
time
zone.
A year, hockey's
prep
on.
Hockey,
hey, prep hockey once a year. It's the biggest thing ever.
Honestly, I love the prep zone.
I love all the prep
zone. I DVR
stuff, right? Stop being a hater.
So here I jumped into it to help Stan, and then I butchered his name. Tommy Pham getting a lot of headlines, and I don't know that we have any indication yet whether anything was said to him by anybody at all, whether it's Akendo or Matheny, Mozeliak. Is there a hockey equivalent? I mean, Brett Hull was brash,
yes,
would say anything, was cocky, but he also had an incredible resume. Pham's resume is still pretty light, but he did say one thing that was fascinating. He's learning Spanish, and you would say, well, that makes sense. You got all these teammates now who are from the Dominican, other places. And he said, I'm not going to lie and tell you it so I can talk to my teammates. I just really like Latin women.
He likes Latin women. I love the honesty there. He's my second favorite player right now behind the Japanese ball player with the Angels.
Otani?
I like Otani. I want to order an Otani jersey. What's his first name?
Shohei.
I like how Strick's a big fan.
Yeah.
You're a really big fan.
Yeah, but I would, if I was a everyday Cardinals beat writer or whatever, I would learn Spanish. I'd spend an entire offseason learning Spanish. You know, Jack Buck could speak Spanish fluently. I just think that gives you a major advantage over the competition. If you're looking for an advantage, learn Spanish.
I think in baseball these days, you almost have to have it in your back pocket.
Martini, almost.
La Russa, those guys know
almost.
Enough. Well, I'm saying as a beat writer, you don't have to. Now, if you go to certain markets, New York.
Well, I guess you're right. You can still talk to the interpreter.
Right. Yeah. If they have
just think if you could talk directly to the player.
Right. No, it would be a great advantage
yes.
to have learned that. If you cover the Montreal
Rosetta
Canadiens,
Stone.
Is anybody, and you go to the Canadiens' locker room, are they speaking French or are they speaking English?
Well, there's French media and there is English-speaking media. Not every player on the team speaks French.
I remember when Montreal would be here, mm-hmm. I always thought it was very impressive. David Perron sitting there, he would do his interview in English, yes. and then all of a sudden Montreal reporter comes over and he switches so quickly back and forth like that.
That is amazing. You know, they split up the press conferences that are there in Montreal post-game. They have one press conference, like for the head coach, for example, one press conference with the French-speaking media, one press conference with the English-speaking media. That's why you will rarely, if ever, see a head coach there in Montreal or a general manager who can't speak French. Won't happen.
So they can't fire a guy unless they have somebody in mind. Like, if you call into Sports Radio Montreal, yeah, well, who are we going to get to replace him with?
Jacques, someone?
Get Hitchcock. He doesn't speak French. You got to have that at your disposal.
Mm.
Blues Hawks tonight, then again in Chicago, Friday, Colorado. You know the drill by now. Three games left for the Blues. If they get in and get bounced right away by Nashville, which is, it's a possible scenario.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that would be viewed?
Well, I mean, we all know it's better to get in. I mean, so let's be real, though.
I agree.
Let's be real.
I'm not saying don't get in.
How about the question is getting in versus not getting in? Because if you get in and, you know, you're the last team in the conference and you lose to arguably the best team in the NHL, I think that may be a little bit easier to deal with versus not getting in at all. But at the end of the day, it depends on how you lose in a playoff series. Do you put up a fight? Is it an easy victory for the opposition if you lose? And in the case of St. Louis playing Nashville, nobody in the entire hockey world, the universe, will be giving them any chance whatsoever if they get in and they're forced to play the Predators. So, crazier things have happened. We've seen 8 seeds go on to reach the finals, to win the Stanley Cup. We've seen the Blues win the President's Trophy. My first year, they won the President's Trophy. They lost to San Jose in 7 games. So anything is possible, but it's not something that you would volunteer for to play against Nashville unless you're truly fighting to get it into the playoffs. The Blues would welcome that opportunity.
No, absolutely. You want to get in. I'm just saying all we're talking about right now is get in, get in, get in,
mm-hmm.
and then it could be a quick
You're already focused on, well, what will the reaction be when they lose to Nashville? That's your focus already.
No, but
who's to say? Who knows?
You don't know. Absolutely, you don't know. Get in. Anything can happen. You want to be part of it 100%. Don't disagree with that. I'm just wondering what the standard is right now for a franchise who 2 years ago was on the cusp of winning a Stanley Cup. That did seem possible 2 years ago, and right now that doesn't really seem possible.
Mm-hmm.
Where does it leave them is kind of my point as you go into this summer, unless you surprise everybody and go on to some kind of deep run that nobody's anticipating a deep run at this point. It could happen, and then all of this is a waste of oxygen. But my point is, what do they expect right now? What do they consider success to the Blues? Just getting in, is that enough?
Well, I mean, things changed throughout the year, Martin, because that would not have been considered success entering the season, right? If you would have told management, ownership, the coaching staff, the players, that you'd be fighting to get into the playoffs in the last few games of the regular season, and then if you were to lose in the first round, I don't think anybody would say, well, that's a success if you get in. So, you know, things changed. They made some trades at the trade deadline. They've got some injuries. They had a terrible stretch there where they couldn't win a game. They fell deep out of the playoffs. Now they fought and clawed their way back into the conversation. So, I mean, there's different ways to look at it, but I would agree. When you go to the conference final 2 years ago, they went around last year. You want to continue to progress, move forward. Losing in the first round wouldn't appear to be that in terms of progression. But again, I don't even want to go there because there's so much that can happen before you actually get to the playoffs. And we'll see how it plays out.
And what was it called, Charlie, last year? Foundational year?
Foundational year.
So what would this year be billed as?
What's a little bit less than foundational?
Mm.
Because last year they won a round.
Mm-hmm.
So if that were to happen.
It's a cardinal year because they're going the other way.
Like, hey, and don't forget last year, they lost to Nashville in the second round. Nashville was the last team to get in the playoffs, too. Out of the 16 teams in the playoffs last year, they were ranked 16th. Okay, they were the last team to get in. went all the way to the Stanley Cup final. They're already planning for Snoop Dogg to be there for game one of the Stanley of the first round, right? I mean, they bring out all the celebrities and whatever. But
Snoop Buggers, Dogg.
These country buggers, man. Remember how they just got on my last nerve last year? They have like a code. There's like they're called Cell Block 303, where they instruct the fans on chants and how to act at the game and what to say, when to say it. It's overwhelmingly annoying. It's among the most annoying fans in all of sport.
But it's a fun in-game experience, though. They have a band there.
A bunch of honky
country
tonks.
Music. They had the guy from the show Nashville playing with the band during the intermissions. Yeah. They got the Tennessee Titan linemen slamming beers at the games. You got Jeff Fisher, of course. He probably makes it to every game with his jersey on.
Last year, they had the national anthem singer who sang the national anthem at just about every regular season game, and then he got kicked to the curb for the playoffs for all these country music stars.
Correct.
He went to the paper, got all upset, was angry, then they fired him.
They should have fired him.
What an idiot, eh?
But come on. If you're going to have Carrie Underwood and some of the biggest stars in country music for a national spotlight
game.
Some
of them were terrible.
Why,
at the national anthem, by the way.
Why would Snoop Dogg be there?
Well, he's country.
Am I missing something? No, they should have Nelly because it's country grammar.
Country grammar.
At least then you could put that with the country buggers. Has Jake Allen, this is sort of a pre-slop, pre-Frank question.
Okay.
Has Jake Allen done enough that you go into next season?
We can talk some Porter Mosier too, or no?
A little bit like Sister Jean.
Okay.
Has Jake Allen done enough to solidify his future? Like he's still, like nothing's changed. He's the guy going into next year, or do you think that's still to be determined?
Still to be determined.
Oh, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the right answer.
Yeah.
With the majority of the roster, right?
Because every year you're out to prove yourself. Every game you are. Goaltending has changed so much in the National Hockey League where this has become the year of the backup goaltender. Look at Keith Kincaid right now in New Jersey and some of these other teams where the backup has kind of taken over. Grubauer from a couple of nights ago. Braden Holtby, their number one goaltender in Washington, this guy was a Vezina Trophy candidate the last few years. Has the most wins of any goaltender in the NHL over the course of the last few years. Can't get it done in the playoffs. Now, Grubauer's been the better goaltender for the Capitals down the stretch, and there's some talk he could get the net when the playoffs begin for the Washington Capitals. Predicting goaltending has become among the most difficult things to do in all of sport, and the margin of difference between the best goaltender in the NHL versus the last backup gets smaller and smaller every single year. These guys can all play. To get to this level, there's only 60 of them playing in the National Hockey League. To get to this level, you've got to be so good, and all of these guys are great.
So on that note, mm-hmm. Carter Hutton was playing so well.
Mm-hmm.
We know it's a contract year. Since then, had the injury. Jake Allen's playing all the games. Because of that, could he actually be back now next year as the backup? What's the market for Carter Hutton?
And let me just say this real quick. I shouldn't say all goaltenders are great. I say all goaltenders have the ability to play great or to have a great week or to have a great couple of weeks or to play a great game. The difference between the top goaltenders and the backups is the ability to sustain that over long stretches. Now, in terms of Carter Hutton, he's played his way into a conversation where he's going to get paid and certainly receive a pretty decent raise versus what he's making right now, which I think is 1.1. What he's made the last couple of years, he'll be in that $2 to $2.5 million range. I don't see him getting that type of money from the Blues. They've got another kid named Billy Husso, who is one of the top goaltenders right now in the American Hockey League. Has a lot of success playing over in Finland before he came over to North America, and they believe that his progression has him slated probably to be the backup next season. But you never know. They may want him to play a lot one more year down in the American Hockey League, and maybe they sign a veteran goaltender in the offseason for less money than what they would have to pay Carter Hutton.
Midday Grind, Martin Kilcoyne, Andy Strickland, Charlie Marlowe. We've got Rock. We've got Hoff. We've got the Hardline coming up top of the hour. We're at Llewellyn's tomorrow. We're at Herbie's in Clayton on Friday. And if you're in the market for a new car, need a new hockey wagon, stop by and see the gang over at Offenburg Hyundai. O'Fallon, Illinois, about 10 minutes from downtown St. Louis. Short ride to a great deal. If you're in the market for an SUV, check out the Tucson, the Santa Fe, premium luxury. You want all the bells and whistles. When I drive, Charlie, when I do have a car
mm-hmm.
and I'm allowed to drive, I'm usually in the Genesis. You get all the bells and whistles you would need.
Beautiful vehicle.
Remember I picked you up that one time?
That
one time.
Singular time, yes.
That is correct. You said, wow, that's a pretty nice car. When you pull in, get a little valet, whenever that happens.
That other time, Martin said, hey, can you give me a ride to O'Fallon, Missouri real quick? It's just about 35, 40 minutes.
Hey, Chuck, my bus pass is expired. Can you pick me up this morning?
Hey, ma. What's up with last night? Dominic Leone? Kidding me? 26 pitches? You see those numbers against Braun? Get out of here.
Bring him up. And you know what I heard? I heard the umpire in Milwaukee was in a hurry. So he said, I'm going to be calling everything, guys. Put it right down the middle.
Well, it was. It was right, hey,
right down the middle. OffenburgHyundai.com is their website. They're located O'Fallon, Illinois. Greenmount Road is the exit. 10 minutes from downtown St. Louis. Matt Offenberg and his team there to serve you. Great cars, great deals. It's the place to go.
I want to make one thing clear, though, because I don't think anybody's turning the page on Carter Hutton just yet. You never know. He could all of a sudden become the story for this hockey team. Still, before everything's all said and done, you don't know. Injury obviously gave Jake an opportunity to redeem himself and get his game back in order, which he's done. But if the Blues are going to have any run between now and the rest of the season and get into the playoffs and have a run in the playoffs, you're probably going to rely on both goaltenders.
So, quick question. When's the last time Carter has played and final games of the season back-to-back? Is it still Jake?
Say that again?
Carter hasn't played in what, 11, 12 games?
Yeah, it's been a while.
He played in Phoenix in relief, but he didn't start, you're saying.
Final games, back-to-back. Jake, are those both Jake?
Jake.
100%.
If they clinch, if they win tonight, they win Friday, they clinch, then I would think if they matter, Jake's playing.
Okay.
Well, and they don't clinch if they win both.
No, they do.
Colorado wins,
no, they
right?
do. They do. If they win both tonight and Friday, even if Colorado wins Thursday, that game Saturday.
I don't think that's accurate.
Let's put it this way.
I'm not trying to debate you. I'm not trying to argue. How many points are they behind Colorado?
Hold on. Let me.
One.
So let's say Blues win tonight. They're one ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Colorado
I'm
wins.
Sorry. Yes.
Then they would be one ahead. Then you win Friday. Now you're one ahead going into
I'm sorry. You're right. If Colorado loses.
Correct. And the Blues win both.
And when they win both. Yeah. No, you're right.
I'm not trying to argue.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Just wanted because.
Martin.
I did say to Frank earlier, any chance Saturday could be meaningless, and it's very remote because they'd have to win both Chicago games, and Colorado losing would make Saturday meaningless. It'll make your head explode. It is exciting. I will say this for the Blues. As frustrating as
San Jose lost last night to Dallas. I think they're gonna, I think that's a good thing that Dallas beat San Jose because they're not going to want to lose a couple of games in a row. They're going to want to make sure their game is in order as well come playoff time. So, they're going to put forth a pretty good effort against Colorado tomorrow night. Colorado, they've got some injuries.
They could lose easily.
And Nathan MacKinnon has cooled off. But again, the Blues just need to focus on doing what they've got to do. They got to win.
All right, here's a topic that'll make ESPN's head explode. What are some of their favorite things? Big names, right?
Tim Tebow.
LeBron James versus Nick Saban. Okay, this is fascinating, and I have an opinion on this, okay?
So do I.
Opinion alert.
I've got an opinion on this, too. I don't know. I think LeBron is just an absolute idiot.
Okay, so if you don't know the story, Alabama coach Nick Saban.
He thinks he invented. Wasn't there a movie called Barbershop?
Correct.
There was about three of them.
Thank you. Alabama's Nick Saban, who I don't think is known for being, at the Chuckle Hut, but maybe can have a little bit of fun, puts out a video called Shop Talk. Nick Saban and Julio Jones, his former player, talking a little ball, okay? And they put it out on Twitter. They're sitting in a barbershop, uninterrupted, which LeBron James is connected to the show that he does, said. The letter sent to Saban in Alabama. There are copyright concerns, infringement, trademark rights, intellectual property, concerns stemming from a show that the platform aired last year called The Shop when LeBron James on Uninterrupted does a show with Draymond Green and they're sitting around talking in a barbershop. Can you really claim intellectual property? Rob Dazier used to do segments on Fox 2. Called The Barbershop. He would walk in and talk to people. Eddie Murphy's done skits for years with the guys sitting around the barbershop.
I'm waiting for Laura Ingraham to get involved in this, by the way, and just tell LeBron to shut up and dribble.
How about Coming to America?
Even though I'm not a big fan of hers, and I didn't like her saying that. But no, this barbershop situation, I think LeBron looks like a complete idiot. Nick Saban handled himself so perfectly in this press conference. It was hilarious. And I love how he just kind of dropped the mic and walked off as well. Didn't even take another question. And LeBron was like, well, we're just going to let the lawyers handle it. Okay, that's your comeback?
I love LeBron James, but he's totally wrong here. How many movies, how many TV shows
Why does he even
have
care?
Barbershop
Why does
scenes?
He even care?
Guys talking at the barbershop, is something that you've seen
cliche,
in media for
anything.
50, 60, 70
Focus
years.
Focus on beating the Celtics.
If
okay?
anything, you could say to Nick Saban, that's not all that creative. You could have come up with something. You could say to LeBron, that's not all that creative. People have been doing that for
exactly.
years.
Exactly. In fact, Tuna and I have talked about this for years. We want to do a show with Frank at the barbershop.
Watch out. You're going to get sued. You're going to get sued. Nick Saban said, I think LeBron James is a great player. There's been at least 20 barbershop-type things I've seen.
I didn't even know he had one.
I didn't even know he had one. I'm sorry anybody could be offended by something we were just trying to have a little fun with. I enjoyed it, and we're going to continue to do it, which is what the answer should be.
Loved it.
You would think, all right, now, LeBron, it's probably not him. He's got handlers and people and corporations. He responded following the win.
Terrible response.
Over the Raptors saying, you guys know Nick Saban more than me from a media perspective. You guys know Nick Saban more than I do. That's exactly what I would think he would say. I built Uninterrupted for a reason. And for us athletes to have a platform to be able to speak about whatever we want to talk about, I respect him as a coach, but I'll be damned if I'll allow someone to use our platform or try to do the same thing we're doing and just think it's okay. Time out. You're not doing it. It has nothing to do with the athletes having a platform. It's like if you sat on a park bench and did a video and then somebody else said, whoa, we're the ones sitting on
Forrest
a park
Gump
bench.
Forrest Gump did that.
Correct.
Yeah.
The lawyers will figure it out. LeBron looks petty in this topic.
Petty. He just looks
silly.
Uninformed.
Yeah. Nick,
uninterrupted.
He looks uninterrupted.
I like Nick Saban saying, I didn't know he had one, and we're going to continue
to do it.
I believe that too. I absolutely believe that Nick Saban has 100%. No idea what's going on in
this
the media.
This is where
world.
LeBron just is just a tad unlikable. A tad.
Correct.
He's oversensitive. You know? And yeah, I love LeBron is. James.
Let
but
this one
he's
go.
A little thin-skinned.
Like, I don't want to compare him to Mike. Or whatever, but do you think Jordan would be? He wouldn't even answer a question about this in a post game situation.
He would show up on the bench. On the
I remember
with Nick Saban,
and I have the audio of it. I'll never forget going to do a feature on Jahidi White and Larry Hughes playing with Michael Jordan for the Wizards. It was during the 2002 NHL Olympic break, and in the
this was on Basketball Sense.
This was on Basketball Sense.
I remember this
in the locker room with the Washington Wizards. Somebody asked Michael Jordan about LeBron James, who was a high school junior at the time, I believe. Not a senior, but a junior. And he kind of politely, but he was obviously annoyed, answered the question. When the cameras and the microphones were off, he ripped the reporter for saying, don't ever ask me about a high school kid again and whatever, you know? So, but he knew when to do that and when to turn it on and turn it off. He was smart about doing it. But so... I just think there's certain things LeBron, like, and some other superstars in other sports, too, they just don't allow themselves to get distracted. He seems to allow himself to be distracted.
It seems so stupid because the barbershop thing is so
Well, that's why
so
I had
done.
To, like, think twice. I'm like, is this guy serious?
He can't be serious. And then after the game, he is serious. That's it, Chuck. We got to go.
Great
Tomorrow,
show.
Tomorrow, great show. Hoff, did everybody get a game ball today? I think yes.
Hoff's mad because no end of the day here.
Well,
I mean,
he doesn't have a microphone. That's one of the issues here.
Well, you took my mic. I had to. That's why I had
no,
to
you didn't do anything wrong. It's We got a mic situation here. But I also am relieved because apparently TJ's on Facebook Live right now, which means we can eat and nobody can see us. It was pointed
nice.
Out that you can't see us.
What's so he breaking down?
I don't know.
Is
probably
this secondary?
Maybe LeBron. Hardline is coming to our next trick. Keep your stick on the ice, buddy.
Looking forward to it,
and,
as always.
Blues Hawks tonight. Looking forward to that.
NBC broadcast tonight, you know.
It's weird. Fox Midwest tonight, no baseball, no hockey. Cardinals are on FS1, our sister station, I guess. And then NBC Sports Network has the Blues and Hawks.
Fox Sports Midwest has the final two.
Starting on Friday. All right, we'll see you back tomorrow live from Llewellyn's. This has been the Midday Grind.